Title of the message for today is a provocative one. If you could just gather your thoughts and attention to what I'm about to deliver. And the title of the message is Making Himself Equal with God. Okay? Equal with God. Who is equal with God? Who is equal with God? You know, we human beings are equal, whether you are men or women or educated, non-educated, whether you are Asian or non-Asian, husband and wife, human beings are equal. Equal in right and nature, right? Families made up of mother and father and the children, and family, they are made up of equal persons in nature. Okay, so with that said, who is equal with God? And amazingly, in this section of the Bible, Jesus claims. It's a provocative one, okay? He claims that he's equal with God. Equal with God. Now, what we need to think about is if he claims that he's equal with God, there are just only two possibilities, whether he's a liar or whether he's telling the truth. I don't think there's somewhere in between, hybrid, right? Either he's not equal with God or he's equal with God. Okay, same nature, same being, and that's a provocative one. And that's in John chapter 5. After we talked about this interesting story of Jesus healing this invalid person who's been sick for 38 years, okay? 38 years is a long time to be sick. I don't even like to be sick for 3 days, don't you? Right? Well, you get sick and you just hate it. Can you imagine you've been sick for 38 years? I don't know exactly what the nature of his sickness was, but it was among many, many, many sick people who were identify as blind, lame, and paralytics. We talked about that. People with a problem with vision, they just can't see. And people with mobility, they just can't move. And people with senses, paralytics. So blind, lame, and paralytics, which signifies humanity. Okay, which signifies you and me. Before we meet Jesus God. I think that's what John chapter 5 is about. By this time, Jesus is into his third year of ministry. He spent 1 year in southern Judea and then 16 months in northern Galilee. By the time we come to chapter 5, he comes down to Jerusalem and Judea again. It's well into his ministry, less than a year left before his death and the cross, resurrection and ascension. So we're just coming to that kind of point. Maybe 8 months, 10 months left. Okay? So he comes to Jerusalem and he singles out one person. Isn't that amazing? Why doesn't he heal everybody? But he singles out one person. Doesn't explain why. Doesn't explain much about him. Other than he was sick for 38 years, he singles out one person and he comes to him, do you want to be well? And he just heals him, go, pick up your mat and walk. And he heals him. So that's the story, okay? But is that what this story is about? No, I think if you read along, there is a main issue between religious establishment, Judaism, which started with the Bible in the Old Testament, but it was deviated from the truth and become a religion. Is religion and Christianity same? No, it's not same. It's a deviated thing. Deviated thing. That's what we want to talk about. And the tension rises between the religious establishment, Judaism, of that Jesus' era, and God himself. And the main topic of issue was Sabbath. Now, can you think with me, those of you have a Christian background and there are who aren't, so I want to just explain. What is Ten Commandments and the law is about? It's about covenant relationship between God and his people at Mount Sinai. After God miraculously, graciously redeemed and saved his people from slavery, he come to this place called Mount Sinai, and they make a covenant. You know what that is, basically? It's a marriage. You can think of it as a marriage. I will be your God, and you will be my people. It's an ancient Near East way of saying, I'll be your husband, and you'll be my bride. Very biblical, very theological. Okay, and the Ten Commandment is God's law for the good, for the loving relationship between God and men, and men and men. Okay, now think with me, those of you who grew up in church. Ten Commandment is made up of how many commandments? 10. Okay, thank you. All right, Ten Commandment. And evenly divided between 5 and 5. But first 4 has to do with your relationship with God. Okay? Thou shalt not have no other God before me. And the 4th one is keep your Sabbath holy. You know what the 5th one is? Does anybody know? This Jewish person, a friend of mine I knew, kind of explained this to me. The 5th one is honor your mother and father. So interesting. Is that relationship with horizontal relationship with men, or is that a vertical relationship with God? That's what connects the two. Very insightful if you think about it. That's the Jewish way of thinking. The 5th commandment, which is to honor your mother and father, connects the two. There's something about your relationship with your parents. There's something about your relationship with your father. I'm going off tangent. Okay, I gotta come back. I gotta come back to Sabbath. Okay, Sabbath. All right. Sabbath is the 4th one. Now, let me just ask you, God gave this law of keep your Sabbath holy to the people. Is it because God needs rest? Does God, oh man, I'm so tired. I created the heavens and the earth, universe in 6 days by command, by word. Now I'm so exhausted, I need to lie down and just take a nap. Is that what it is? Absolutely not. Bible says he's not weary, no tired. He just doesn't need. And the word bana of Sabbath has the meaning of sustaining. Now, can you think with me? If God stops working, what's going to happen? Praise God. You all right? Praise God. If God stops working, the sun will fall apart. And everything will stop rotating. Your heart will stop beating. I talked about this. I know there are medical personnel here. Do you know how many times and how your heart beats? How many times? People say about 70 times a minute, right? So there are 1,440 minutes per day. So times 70. I can't do that in my head. Maybe you can. And do that for 80 years. How many times? Let me ask you. What makes your heart beat that many times without failing? Does anybody know? Yeah, exercise will help. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, I was in biochemistry major and dental school and whatnot. And that was one of my interests. How does that beat? There's something called SA node. Little piece of tissue, myocardial tissue, okay? Doesn't look very different than the rest of the heart. And then there is an AV node, okay? And then there's an electric impulse that shoots from SA node to AV node constantly, right? There's an electric impulse, action potential created that makes your muscle to beat, okay? But let me ask you, what makes SA node to do that? For 70, 80 years. Bible says, it is Christ. It is Christ. Okay, so that's Christ and God who doesn't need Sabbath, but Sabbath is for the people. It's for the people needs to rest. Can you imagine you work 70, 80 hours a week, 7 days a week, 365 days a week, and you just continue to work, 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 work. You know what's going to happen? You're going to collapse and you're going to drop dead. Okay? And that's what happens to so many people. So we need rest. It's not that God needs rest. And it's us who need rest. Can you think of Ten Commandments? God-given command. Are those bad things or are they good things? Thou shalt not kill each other. Don't kill anyone. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Good thing. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Commit adultery left and right. What kind of marriage, what kind of society, what kind of world are we going to have? It's just going to be a mess, right? Thou shalt not steal from one another. There is no order. These are all good things God gives to his people because he loves them. Christianity is about loving relationship. Did you know that? It's about loving God and loving people. And they do not go separately, okay? Loving God and loving your neighbors. I don't think they could go separately, okay? People say they can, but the Bible clearly says you can't. When you love God, you do not love by rules and regulations. Do you love your husband and wife by rules and regulations? You could never do that. Loving someone is deep from within, from the heart. Loving God is not rules and regulations. So God gave this, you know, Sabbath law and Ten Commandments, and people may have a good intention at the beginning, but they made, so how do I keep the Sabbath holy? So you know what Jewish people did? Jews made up of 600 plus smaller sub-laws to follow the Ten Commandments, okay? So keep the Sabbath holy has 39 categories. Let me just explain. I'm not trying to make fun of it, okay? But I want you to know this is what happens. So keep the Sabbath holy. So the Jewish leaders, the Jewish religion, they come up with 39 categories. And one of them is this. So you're not supposed to work on Sabbath. So you're supposed to rest. So the rule is, one of the 39 is, you could lift up things up to your shoulder. But if you lift up above your shoulder, that's work. So you can't work out. Yeah, that's work. You see that? I mean, that's really the sub-law of the Ten Commandments and the law, okay? And you have to move things within the house on the Sabbath day. You need to carry the plate. You need to carry this, carry that. But you could only carry within your house and domain, okay? So do you see how this could get deviated, right? And the original meaning of keep the Sabbath holy is to love God. And recalibrate, reorient. What do I live? What do I work? What is my life for? It's to love God and to live before him. But instead of that, it becomes keeping all these sub-laws and sub-rules and regulations. And we're going to talk about that. Why is this topic so important? Okay? So with that said, I'm just going to read the text one more time. Okay? So because Jews were doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him, okay? Chapter 5, into his third year of public ministry, the tension between the religious establishment, the priests, Pharisees, and all the religious establishment, and God himself is escalating and rising, eventually killing him, okay? And this is sort of like igniting the fire event, okay? Jews were doing these things on the Sabbath because Jesus was doing these things on Sabbath, Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, now here's a peculiar statement, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. Does anybody know what he's saying here? It's very peculiar. I don't think you could just pick it up by just looking at this statement. It just a little bit of needs explanation. Okay, See, the Jewish religion made all these rules to keep the Sabbath holy. But for the centuries, the rabbinical discussion and thinking is this question. Can you think with me? Does God keep the law? Does God keep the law? And the simple answer is, of course. It's a covenant relationship. Of course he keeps the law. Right? But as soon as you say yes, then you come to trouble because if he stops working on Sabbath, whole universe collapses and your life ends. So you can't say that. So they thought of a way to accommodate God. So this is the way they accommodate God. God does work, continues to work, but he never lifts anything up above his shoulder. It's all light works. That's how they explained it. Okay? And God does work, carry one thing from another within his domain, within his house. But let me just ask you, what is the domain and what is the house of God? The whole universe. The whole universe. That's how they explain it. So they believe God is always at work. But now, listen to what Jesus is saying. It's so provocative. My Father, same nature, my family, my personal Father is at work to this very day, and I too am working. What is he saying? We may not appreciate it as well, but Jews knew what he was saying. Listen to what he was saying. For this reason, verse 18, the Jews try to kill him all the more to try to kill him. Because, not only because he was breaking the Sabbath, but he was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. This is Jesus's his own claim. You know, Christianity stands upon this one truth, whether Jesus is God or not. Christianity stands upon it. Okay? He claims that he's God. If he doesn't, he's a terrible liar. He's the biggest scam. Christianity is sham and it's a scam. We should throw it away, right? But if he's God, there are severe ramifications. If he's God, you better listen to him. We better listen to him. Okay? So, with that said, is Jesus God? Okay, I want to give you five testimonies and evidences quickly that he is God. He is equal with God. Number one, Bible says he is God. Bible says it, clearly says it. Okay, Hebrews 1:1. In the past, God spoke with our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, heir of all things, creation, whole universe, okay? And through whom he made the universe. He is the creator. We're talking about the Son, Jesus. And the Son, I'm reading from NIV, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, and listen to this, and the exact representation of God, very nature of God, very being of God. You see that? Bible clearly says he's God, and there's that line, sustaining all things. Christ is sustaining your heartbeat right now. Christ is sustaining your mind. You know why you don't go insane right now? Because Christ is sustaining it. Do you know why your heart is beating instead of skipping? Instead of just stop altogether? Because he's sustaining it according to his wisdom and grace and pleasure. Okay? So Bible says he's equal with God. Secondly, Jesus himself claimed that he's equal with God. Number three, Christianity Explored, we talked about this. His life and ministry speaks that he is God. Let me give you five examples, okay? What happened during his ministry and life? He spoke with such authority. He spoke with authority and claims with such authority, okay? If you believe in me, you will never die. How do you say that? I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you will never die. If you drink the water that I give you, you'll never thirst. How do you claim that, right? Secondly, he calmed the storms, the nature. He is in control of the nature. He calms the storm. He walks on water. Thirdly, he heals every disease, casting out demons, right? And even the demons recognized him as a son of God. Fourthly, he had even power to overcome and raise the dead. Who has that? Only God does in the Old Testament. And fifthly, he even has the power to forgive sin. If you put this thing together, ministry and his life together, basically speaks that he is God. So It was the Bible, it was Jesus, and it was his ministry. Number four, history supports that. How do you explain it? Someone who claims something like that, and then he died, and he disappeared. Let's say his ascension disappeared. And how is it possible that 2,000 years, all over the world, throughout history, people lay down their lives for what they believe? How can you explain that? And lastly, but not least, God himself testifies that Jesus is God. He is my beloved son. With him, I am well pleased. Do you hear it, brothers and sisters? You're in a good, service today. If Jesus is God and he claims to be God, there's only two options. Number one, he's not. Number two, he is. Okay? So let me talk about, let's say he's not. Christianity stands or falls upon this truth, one truth, which separates from all the other religion is that Christ is God, right? If he's not God, he himself claimed it, and he's the greatest liar. He's the greatest scam of the devil, because that's a lie. He's the father of lie, right? He's a liar. If he's not God, there is no salvation, no redemption. His cross is in vain. A sinner dying for sinner, it means nothing. Resurrection is a lie. There is no power, no atonement, no forgiveness, nothing. It is the greatest shame and greatest, like, disaster. There's no church. There is no salvation. There is no hope. There is no love. Everything in the Bible is a huge contradiction. It's lies. There are lies. And the conclusion is you should throw away the Bible. You should throw away Christ. You should throw away Christianity if he's not God. You should. Let's go home. Forget it, okay? See you in whenever, right? If he's not God. However, Christianity, Bible, and the gospel stands upon this one truth that separates from all the other religions, all the other ideologies, and all the other theories and hopes and guesses that Christ is God. What if he's God? You better listen to him. He's not claiming that he's different God. He is claiming that he is the one God. He's a different person, but he's claiming that only what Father does, I do. We're same nature. Unless I see him doing, I could never do it. He's saying that I am not a separate God, but I am one God in two different persons. One of the things that we see in John's gospel is this pictures of Trinity. John chapter 14, we'll get to it. John chapter 16, John chapter 17 speaks about Holy Spirit, speaks about this wonderful language, Trinitarian language of Father is in me and I am in the Father. And you are in me. It's an amazing, amazing statement. That's how God exists. And he is explaining that here, Father and I are one God. Okay? So, Christ is God, who is equal with God, very nature God, and one God, and he came, and he became a man, and he loves you, and he died for you. Can you just kind of walk away neutral? People, are you listening to me? I know it's getting a little warmer. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Can you walk away neutral? If God became a man, came and became a man, and he loved you and singled you out like the 38-year-old invalid. And he came to save you. Can you walk away neutral? Are you listening? Are you upset? Are you upset about what? You see? What are some ramifications if he's God, right? Number one, if he's God who died and conquered sin and death, if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you do not have life. That's what the scripture states. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you do not have life. Second ramification, his words and promise is true. He's coming back, people. How many of you believe? You don't have to say amen. Unless you do. How many of you do believe that Jesus is coming back? Would you say amen if you do? Okay, I hear maybe half of you, it's fine. The Bible said he's coming back. Jesus said he's coming back. Okay, what you said may or may not happen. But the Bible says whatever the word of God says, even the least stroke of a pen will not go undone. It will be completed. If you don't believe that, I think we should chuck the Christianity altogether. He is God. And what he promises and his word is true. And third, one more ramification, one more branch. He's coming back to judge the living and the dead. Okay? He's coming back to judge the living and dead. Let me read it to you, okay? I'm going to come back to this picture. Verse 20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, he will show him even greater works than these so that you will be amazed. Listen to this. For just as Father raised the dead and give them life. In the Old Testament, only God could raise the dead and give life. But he says, even so, the Son gives life to whom is pleased to give it. Wow, that sounds so like, what's the word? If it's not God, it sounds so arrogant. It sounds so off. But if he's God, that's right on, isn't it? That's right on, isn't it? Verse 22, moreover, the Father judges no one. Only God is the judge. Only the living God, true God, is the judge. But listen to what he's claimed. But has entrusted all judgment to the Son. That's him. All judgment to the Son. That all may honor the Son just as honor the Father. Whoa, whoa. Could you replace that word honor with worship? Because I think that's what he's saying. See? That all may worship the Son just as worship the Father. Whoever does not worship the Son does not worship the Father who sent him. That's exactly what he's saying. Who could possibly be worthy of worship? Only God. And he's saying that whoever does not worship the Son is not worshiping the Father. Do you hear? Do you hear why the Jews wanted to kill him? We don't really hear it, but Jews heard, and they wanted to kill him. I'm sad that we don't hear it. We get sleepy. He's God, people. If he's not, go home. Don't bother. Live your life. Be merry, be happy. Right? But if he's God, there are true ramifications. Do you agree? You know, there's a reason, real reason, I want to explain something about religion and Sabbath issue. There's a real internal reason why we human beings and the Jewish religion or all the religions altogether are so uptight about this sub-rules, 39 rules about keeping the Sabbath holy. You know what that is? It's about this. If you could just listen to this. We human beings are under the law. Okay, Romans Bible says we are under the law. In other words, no matter what you say, there is a voice of God in your heart, something called conscience, Romans chapter 2. Okay, and the conscience is a faculty that God has given all human beings that you be able to differentiate what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. Let me give you an example. Okay, you go outside and you see a 5-year-old kid. And you beat him up. Do you feel great? Oh, Chris smiling. Okay. You see an old lady walking, right? Your old lady walking, and you curse at her. Do you feel great? You go home. Your old mother. And you yell at her. And you curse at her. Do you feel good? You know why? It doesn't matter whether you're Christian or not. Your conscience. The law has been written in your heart. You know you need to honor your mother and father. Who gave that to you? The lawgiver. God did. And the conscience is there. Conscience is like deputy God speaking and speaking to you. And therefore, what happens is that deep inside, you want to live perfection. You know you have to keep perfection. You need to keep all the law. If you don't, what happens? You feel guilty. If you don't, what happens? You feel ashamed. I yell at my mother, and I feel ashamed. I don't want people to find out. I cheated. I stole things. And I commit adultery. You are fearful, and you are guilty, and you are shameful. Deep inside. You all do, people. Listen to what your heart is speaking to you. So what do? You make a religion. How do you do that? Keep the Sabbath holy. How do you do that? You make up all these manageable sub-laws. Okay, as long as I don't lift up above my shoulder. Okay? I could do that. As long as I manage it so that I don't have to carry anything on Sabbath. I keep this. Before you know it, you feel pretty right about yourself. Before you know it, oh, maybe I am right with God. Do you see it? Do you hear it? How dangerous this is? Do you see how critical this is? Religion is, I do this. So you feel pretty right about yourself or righteous about yourself. But you know what the Bible says? Bible says you're under the law, which means you could never keep one of them. Not 600 of them. You cannot even keep up with one. You're under the sin, which means Romans Bible is saying your orientation, inclination is bent. So if you leave alone, you're just going to go toward the sin. You don't even have to think twice about it. It's going to go toward sin. Leave you alone, that's what you're going to do. That's our nature. That's our DNA. And that is us. That we are under the law, under sin. We don't have to. See, Bible says, let alone with keeping the Ten Commandments. If you break one, you break it all. God requires perfection, right? God is holy, perfect. And that's why you desire perfection, which you can never attain. That's why you feel guilty. That's why you feel fearful. That's why you feel shamed. And you don't want nobody to see your heart. You don't want nobody to see your record. Do you? Bible says in Romans, we cannot keep the law because we are under sin, meaning our natural bent and inclination is sin and rebel, and we love the darkness more than the light. We do. That's that person right there. That's that person right there. And that's you. That's me. Okay? We could never work ourselves to God, but that's what we want to do. That's religion. Do you hear the difference between the religion and the gospel and Christianity? You must hear this, people. You must hear this. Otherwise, you're going to die as a religious person, which will not save you. Only God, only Christ, only His work could save you. Whatever the Father does, Son does. I could never do anything that I don't see my Father does. And there is a statement, theological statement, which is an incredible statement. Jesus said, whatever the Father does, Son does. Which implies, if this is what Jesus has done, God is doing that right now, and God has been doing that history throughout history. If that's what Jesus has done in John chapter 5, whatever the Son does, Father does. That's what Father is doing throughout history and even doing right now. Aren't you excited? If that's you, today may be the day of salvation. He may raise you up, people. God creates, Jesus creates. God redeems, and Jesus redeems. God show mercy, Jesus show mercy. God is holy, Jesus is holy. God is merciful, and Jesus is merciful. God is omniscient, and Jesus is omniscient. God is almighty, Jesus is almighty. God shows mercy to a useless 38-year-old, no reason to save person, and He's doing that right now. Do you hear it, people? We make rules and regulations and traditions. If we do this, if we do that, we feel better. I feel better than them, those bad people who cannot keep up the rules and regulations. So I feel superior. That makes me feel even better. And therefore, I'm judgmental toward them. But deep inside, you're shameful. You're afraid. You're not resting. You don't have Sabbath in you. Do you have Sabbath, people? Do you rest? I see a lot of times what's happening in your heart shows on countenances. A lot of times it does. I don't want to embarrass you. Do you have Sabbath in you? Do you have rest in you? Or do you feel afraid? You have to, like, you're so uptight, so afraid. I want to share what Keller said. Okay? I think this is right on. Do you want to know why most religion is so unhelpful? Most religion is unhelpful because most religious people are trying to actually use religion to defend themselves from that sense that they should be perfect. I explained it already. And they're getting legalistic. They're looking at their perfect attendance pins and they are resting in their performances because they desperately need to scratch that itch. What ends up happening is that they become uptight legalistic people, insecure people. That is why churches are so full of fights and full of touchiest and most irritable people, the most sensitive to criticism people you could ever find anywhere. Only Keller could articulate something like that. Okay, don't look at it. People, if you follow religion, you're going to be the most irritable, judgmental, insecure kind of person. There is no rest there. There is no Sabbath there. And you're going to be so uptight about Sabbath rules and regulations you made up, which counts for nothing. It counts for nothing. This is what Jesus is doing. Whatever the Father does, Son does. If this is what Jesus has shown to do in John chapter 5, this is what God is doing right now, people. Do you know anybody like this? Could it be your mom? Could it be your husband? Could it be your sibling? Could it be your, friend? Come on, people. Do you see? Are you blind? When you see, do you move? Are you lame? Do you feel? This person is so much in need, but do you feel? Or are you paralytic? What's the difference, people? Blind, lame, and paralytic. That's humanity without Christ. You know why? Because there is no life in you. There is no sight in you, no vision in you. There is no mobility. There is no power to move. And there is no way for you to feel anything. When Christ comes, everything changes. That's the gospel, isn't it? Deep in your conscience, you feel ashamed, afraid, and guilty. Okay? But on the outside, you may be deceived to think that you are right and you're better and you're achieved. Salvation by your own works. Romans 3:20 says, there is no one who will be righteous by his own work. Period. That's God's word, people. Religion is not a cousin of the gospel. Religion is an opposite enemy of the gospel. Do you see the difference? It's not cousins. They're not cousins. It's the opposite of gospel of grace. The gospel is, my Father is working until now, and I am working too. Jesus came to do work, okay? He came to do work. What kind of work did he come to do? Philippians chapter 2, Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, equal with God, right? Very same being of God, did not consider equality with God. There's that word, equal, right? He did not consider equality, which means he's equal, but he did not consider. Why? Because being found in appearance as a man. So he became a man. Okay, man God. What is that for? He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death and even a death on a cross. He became a man to do his work and to die as a man. If it's not God, there is no power. There is no atonement. There is no forgiveness. You do not have to trust him. But he's God. Therefore, he is holy, just as Father does. He can't sin, just as Father does, Son does. If you claim that Jesus is a sinner, you're saying that God is a sinner. Right? He came to do his work on the cross. Now, would you listen to me? Now, as I try to conclude, people, do you have rest in your heart? Do you have Sabbath in your heart? Where are you going to find rest and Sabbath in this life? You stop doing things that gives you Sabbath? Not really, right? Can you rest? Can you stop? Can you even stop? So many people are like me. We're just so like, I got to produce. I got to do it. I have to read. I have to meet someone. I have to call someone. I have to do work. You know what it is? We're looking for that perfection, but we can't find it. Right? Do you need that true rest and Sabbath? You could only find in the work of Christ that was completed on the cross. He came to do his work, and he completed on the cross. It's not by your works. It's by the work of God that was completed on the cross, people. Put your trust in him, in that you will have life. If you continue to hide, if you continue to perform, continue to make rules and regulations and continue to judge, there's no rest, and there's going to be no rest for eternity. Come to Christ, people. I just pray that you will hear the truth. Come to Christ. Don't be a religious people who are touchiest, most uptight, judgmental people, but truly free people. That is in Christ Jesus. Let's bow.